privileges of being a Native person. And those people have spent 100 years trying to get their rights as Native people restored, and all because their forefathers sold a piece of paper 100 years ago. And just looking at this, I can see the writing on the wall here in Alaska. That is, if you have villages where some people have sold, I'm not talking about selling to outsiders, but if you have a provision that says you can sell to your own corporation, and you could have a village where half the people have sold, half have stayed in, and the half that have stayed in then control the corporation and the others are outside there. This is a difficult problem, and I'm not trying to make it more difficult, but there's still a few years to think about it, and forgive me for raising that, but I'm concerned about that.
That's a good point. I think that, we should always be aware that, you know, and not be selfish about ourselves and try to do things for today, but be looking far enough in the future so that people can make a determination on what they think is right in their time.
Yeah. Well, thanks very much, Mr. McCullough. The folks here who might have been expected to go to St. Paul for the meeting wouldn't have to go, and we could just meet here this afternoon. So I'm glad you came, and grateful to those who've spoken. Would any of you folks like to say something? No, I was kind of looking behind you, sorry.
I think, you know, everybody in here should say something on the land, 1971, 1971.
Yeah.
Give your opinion on it. You got a family. At least, you know, go make a comment in the way.
Yeah. Maybe, Joyce, you could take the microphone around just so folks don't have to bother coming up here. And,
Yeah, I'm Nick Mercury of St. George. Yeah, I wouldn't want to lose my share either. And, for my grandkids want them to get the share to the kids that are born after 71. Oh, this is the first time I heard. I don't know much about 1991, but I see it on TV. That's about all convention anchors. Well,
test, test, test. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Test, test, test. Sounds good from here. Okay.
Through less stringent state programs. This was a conscious choice to accommodate the necessity of controlling development for the people rather than having the development control the people. In establishment of bird refuges on the island and in 1983 amendments to the First Seal Act of 1966, the corporation directed lobbying and negotiations to ensure congressional and administrative protection of subsistence rights and traditional uses specific to the Pribilof Islands. These rights not only are protected contractually, but by act of Congress. The city received funding for a proposed road around the island several years ago. The corporation fought this move and prevented the road construction, even though it would have provided an added attraction for its tourism operation. The corporation opposed the action because it believed certain pristine areas of the island must be protected from further encroachment of man. The corporation sponsored a study of bird habitat disturbances to determine what actions it should take to ensure their protection against unnecessary disturbances. The study showed dramatically how aircraft was destroying bird eggs. The corporation immediately initiated an air traffic corridor control system, which is followed by regular air carriers coming to St. Paul to this day. Birds and eggs are a valuable subsistence resource. The corporation disallows any transients from camping on the island unless they are in established campsites and provided that no firearms are carried or used at any time. All tourists coming to the island must receive an orientation and be escorted to the habitat areas. In developing plans for a proposed helicopter facility at the airport, including a 120-man transient camp, the corporation is requiring several things, such as no personally owned vehicles of any kind by any transients, no firearms of any kind by any transients or in the camp, mandatory orientation on culture, wildlife, and habitat, no leaving the camp even without a native guide. Majority local hire where qualified or qualifiable individuals are available. The corporation sponsored a youth essay contest on culturally relevant issues, as well as an arts and crafts contest and a youth leadership week. The corporation tries to use cultural mechanisms of group competition rather than individual competition in its operations. Decisions at the management level uses extensively the traditional Elliott methodology of decision making, which is consensus and conflict avoidance. In planning the port commercial development, the corporation is working with the city and the IRA to develop plans on development control, local hire, training, and other such important concerns with a specific goal that all three share of minimizing negative development impacts and maximizing local participation with maximum control of culture and lifestyle. In summation, none of these things would have been possible without the corporate model established under ANCSA and or the seed capital and land control it provided us. These accomplishments were fraught with problems and challenges common to many village corporations throughout the state. Like all village corporations, a lot of time, energy, and money went towards running the maze of federal and state regulations and implementation of ANCSA in such areas as land selections, negotiation of 14C rights, easements, rights of ways, conflicting land claims and rights, obtaining patents and interim conveyances. Like all village corporations, particularly during the formative stages, a great deal of money went towards paying legal fees necessary to implement ANCSA requirements and defining its very ambiguous provisions. Like all village corporations, we face a widespread negative image in the outside business world towards native corporations. That is, of being viewed as politically volatile, unstable in management, and having business naivete and ignorance. It is this view by the traditionally very conservative business institutions of the United States, albeit, I have to say, justified, that makes it difficult, if not impossible, for most village corporations to leverage what little capital they have or to have reputable and successful business partners. Lack of financing or of good business partners often result in village corporations going totally on their own or getting into bed with scheming business partners. Either way, the odds of profitability are quite slim and losses and bad mistakes are highly likely. I would assume you found this in the majority of village corporations, that they are either doing nothing or failing badly. Litigation of ANCSA issues has been phenomenal. Phenomenally costly, phenomenally time-consuming. Section 7I of ANCSA placed regional corporation against regional corporation. Ambiguities of Section 14J regarding how regional corporation may develop subsurface resources within village boundaries will set village against region and vice versa. Many villages and regions have been in court with the federal government on questions of appropriate easements, rights-of-ways, definition of navigable waters, airport and federal installation boundaries, question of legal jurisdiction. Derivative stockholder lawsuits are becoming more frequent. In most cases, most ANCSA corporations have had no major positive effect on their shareholders.